Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada News Makers. On the broadcast today, Pat Mulroy joins us. She's a senior fellow at Brookings Mountain West, former head of the Southern Nevada Water Authority, and a board member for Wynn Resorts. She's coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
In Nevada, we know Senator Cortez Masto, and she knows us. She knows we shouldn't pay up to three times more for our prescription drugs than people in other countries. She knows we shouldn't have to choose between buying groceries and paying for the medicines we depend on. And she knows we can lower excessive drug prices by letting Medicare negotiate with pharmaceutical companies. Senator Cortez Masto, keep up the fight. Keep putting Nevada first.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
Hello, is this D&D Roofing?
Yes, it is. How may I help you?
You did such a great job on my roof. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner.
Oh, can I speak to your supervisor?
Sure.
How may I help you?
I love your work. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner. We're all owners. Well, that's why at D&D we work so hard to keep your home safe and sound.
Oh, no wonder.
D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal. Local, employee-owned, here for you.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Nevada Newsmakers Studio is located at the headquarters of the Nevada Trucking Association. Motion and purpose are a truck's greatest virtue.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are always absolutely delighted to welcome back to the program Pat Mulroy. She is senior fellow at Brookings Mountain West. And thank you for being here as always.
Thank you, Sam. I'm delighted to be here.
So let's start out, as we must, talking about what's happening with Lake Mead at this point. And can you give us some perspective? Because the numbers are so scary, but there's been a lot of mitigation done in Southern Nevada that really started under your control and direction. That is helping Southern Nevada at this point. So will you give us some perspective on what's happening?
Yes, I mean, this is year 21 of a drought that has been ravaging the Colorado River for two decades. And Sam, you and I have had this conversation in the past, and I've always said it was never a question of if, it was a question of when were we going to reach this point. The river has seen enough dry years with increased temperatures in the summer, extremely dry soils that soak up whatever precipitation does come down so it doesn't get to the river. And it has affected dramatically the reservoirs of Powell and Mead. Is it serious? Yes, it's very serious. Now, mitigation in Southern Nevada, you're right. We started back in 2005. And we began an aggressive conservation campaign in Southern Nevada with the objective being reduce Southern Nevada's demand before we have to make cutbacks and then have to dramatically affect the community when they're not prepared to do so. So rather than going through this back and forth of you can use whatever you want, now we're in a drought, you can use whatever you want, we said no, Southern Nevada has to begin to systemically begin to use less water, and in so doing prepare themselves for the inevitable shortage declaration that will come.
Now, the third straw that you oversaw is going to save Lake Mead and Las Vegas pretty much as far down as that water goes, correct?
That's correct. The third straw, which was very difficult to build at the time because it was right in the middle of a horrible recession. Yes, it goes down to the riverbed, to the very bottom of Lake Mead. And so even if the lake drops below a level where no water can leave Lake Mead and travel downstream, Southern Nevada will still be able to take water out of Lake Mead. That was the whole objective.
At the legislature, it seemed the only meaningful water bill was one put forth by the Southern Nevada Water Authority to get rid of greenery in medians and places where people actually don't use it. Am I correct in saying that that's going to save about 10% of the water allotment that Lake Mead gets from the Colorado River?
You mean 10% of what we get from?
Yes.
That's closer. Yes, roughly around that area. And I think the Water Authority under John's leadership was extremely wise in making that move. It is grass that you can put artificial turf in. If you're looking at medians, if you're looking at streetscapes, it's all about the visual. You don't have to have real grass out there, which is our single biggest water use still in Southern Nevada, and reserve the use of that grass for areas where it's used, in patches in people's backyards, in parks, in ball fields, in those kind of areas.
Are you concerned that Utah does not take this drought as seriously as Nevada has done and should be doing more to conserve water in Southern Utah?
Well, I think Southern Utah and the rest of the state of Utah is in for a rude awakening. They have had a very different approach. They've not felt that they have been impacted by the drought prior to this. I think as going into the next round of discussions, the upper basin, all the upper basin states will have to take a far more active seat at the table. And I think that will include Southern Utah having to come to grips with some of its more elaborate water use and get more serious about conservation. And I think particularly in light of their desire to put an intake into Lake Powell and bring Lake Powell water to the St. George area, there are two conditions on that. A, they have to more aggressively conserve, and B, they're going to have to engage in conversation with their downstream neighbors. They will be taking a portion of the supply. They will be affecting the formulas that dictate releases from Powell to Mead. And there isn't a chance the lower basin states are going to allow the state of Utah to proceed without them coming to the table in a far more meaningful way than they have in the past.
Let's talk about growth if we can. Marilyn Kirkpatrick.
Inevitable.
Of course.
Inevitable.
Marilyn Kirkpatrick has been on the program a couple of times over the last year. And in asking her about Ivanpah, which seems to be, you know, one of the great secrets that people don't really talk about a lot in the media, but is going to be a huge growth area for Southern Nevada and bring lots of jobs and development. Do you have concerns in regard to the water supply? John Ensminger has been on the program and says, you know, that the Water Authority is prepared to supply both water there and to Apex. But do you have concerns as this water level has dropped? Eyes are going to be looking at this and going, within 10 years, without seeing great drought relief, how is this possible?
I don't think we can sit here and hope for drought relief. But I said it in the past and I'll continue to say it. It's not whether we grow, it's how we grow. Because remember, we recycle 93% of everything that hits our wastewater system. So as long as the majority of the water is used inside and hits the sewer system and is available for recycling, we have a closed loop and we'll continue to reuse it. We use it, we treat it, we discharge it mostly into Lake Mead, and then we can take additional supplies out. I think the more important question, Sam, here is what happens during this next round of interstate discussions, because long before Southern Nevada is impacted in its ability to continue to develop, it will hit Southern California and Arizona far more heavily. You've got to remember, you're approaching that point where nothing can leave Lake Mead. That is the Armageddon nobody wants to face. So there are a series of things, both short-term and long-term, that the basin states have to look at. Do they have the tools? Do they have the arrows in their quiver to be able to address this and make the river system and the lake system more sustainable? Yes, they do. All it takes is political will and a beginning to look at this outside the boundaries of what traditionally the basin states have been willing to consider.
You were, as noted in the Los Angeles Times, up for the top job at the Metropolitan Water District. I have joked with you since you left the top job at the Southern Nevada Water Authority that you've been working harder since then than you were when you were working there, and you were working hard there. You are still in contention, is my understanding, for that job.
No.
Is that gone?
No. It became very much local politics, and local politics prevailed. I think it was a blessing in disguise for me. I don't have to move. They're already talking to me about entering into a contract. So it may be the best of both worlds for me. I let myself get talked into throwing my name in the hat. I did, and they decided to go a different way. Am I upset? No, not at all.
We've talked before about so many things with Southern California and even potentially Mexico, in terms of desalination, in terms of the water that comes from the flash flooding, capturing that instead of the billions of gallons of water that go into the ocean. Are we at a time where, instead of talking about these things as 20, 30 years in the future, that they now become something that should be 5 or 10 years in the future? Or is that too short of a timeline for these kind of major projects?
No, it's not too short of a timeline. The linchpin, and you have to remember, SNWA has already entered into an agreement with Metropolitan. Metropolitan is going to build the country's largest recycling facility. They are going to capture all the wastewater from the greater Los Angeles area. They're going to treat it and they're going to reuse it, both to artificially recharge groundwater basins and, I would assume, for other applications. Southern Nevada has entered into an agreement with them whereby Southern Nevada will pay for a portion of that recycling facility, and in exchange will get a like amount of California's Colorado River water that they will leave behind in Lake Mead. The urgency for arrangements like this to happen now has never been more important. The linchpin isn't whether or not you can build it within this time frame. It's all about environmental permitting. Can you get through California's CEQA process? Can you get through California's NEPA process, where you have a plethora of different environmental groups, each with their own different agenda, each with the ability to slow this train down? So if you got to remember, the Carlsbad desalter took 10 years to permit before you could put shovel to the ground. So if California can expedite its environmental permitting process, and having already made great headway in getting the necessary financing they need to build it, I think it can be built in a much shorter time frame.
Would you give a number of years to that?
Well, I think 5. If you could put shovel to the ground now, you could be up and running in no more than 5 years.
Okay, another quick question about desalination that somebody brought up to me, and please tell me if it makes any sense or if it's nonsense, which is, you know, in the past we've talked about desalination plants off the coast of California, if possible, or off the coast of Mexico, and then Southern Nevada being able to take advantage of additional water. But somebody was talking to me about actually putting desal into Southern Nevada and being able to use the salt. Does that make any sense to you?
No. Makes absolutely no sense to me.
Okay, and that we don't need to go into any further with that. Let me take a break. We'll come back and change topics on you. Thank you for that answer, and we'll be right back.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and YouTube, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Before the masks, before the distancing, before the world changed, UMC was ready. Our response to COVID-19 began before the crisis did, with our own team of infectious disease experts who've spent their careers planning for this moment. With a pandemic response plan, we'd practiced again and again, and by blazing new trails in large-scale testing, including every patient we admit. Always ready. UMC.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and Twitter, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Pat Mulray. She is Senior Fellow at Brookings Mountain West and also a board member of Wynn Resorts. Let me ask you this, because even though there have been answers given to the media, I still really don't understand why Las Vegas Sands, who invented the integrated resort, has sold out their holdings in Las Vegas, or is in the process of doing so, and concentrating on just being an Asian gaming company, even though they have made looks at least at Texas and in New York and Florida. And yet Wynn Resorts is still happily continuing with this business. Does it make any sense to you?
Well, I don't feel comfortable criticizing Sands on their business strategy one way or the other. Is it a choice that Wynn Resorts has made or would make? At this point, the answer to that is no. I mean, when we look at how volatile Macau is right now, the borders open, the borders close, the borders open, the borders close, all because of COVID. I would feel that our strategy of maintaining a strong foothold in Southern Nevada, which is still the gaming mecca of the world, makes far more sense. It has been Las Vegas and Boston that have carried us through the COVID crisis in far more effectively than our Macau holdings have done. So I'm not going to sit here and second guess what Las Vegas Sands is doing, but is that a strategy we've employed? No.
Bo Bernhard made a very interesting comment the other day with the International Gaming Institute, and now he's also heading up economic development at UNLV, that with Resorts World, and I'm sure with Wynn Resorts as well, that we are seeing Asian ideas coming into Las Vegas, where in the past it was Las Vegas being exported to the world. Is that the way you feel about it too?
Well, you knew there was going to be cross-pollination. I mean, that doesn't surprise me in the slightest. With Resorts World coming in, they're not the first Asian endeavor that has come to Southern Nevada, but yes, they are the next. I think far more impactful, though, in terms of what is affecting Southern Nevada, isn't the influx of Asian ideas, but rather the diversification in the sports area. I mean, we've become a sports mecca between the Las Vegas Raiders and, you know, the Golden Knights and the Aces, and we have a very robust sports program now in Southern Nevada that we never had before. And I think you're going to see that have a far greater effect on the resort and gaming industry in Southern Nevada than you would the Asian element.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because State Senator Ben Kiekhafer has been on the program and is, of course, at the legislature talking about esports. And we know that tens of millions of people follow esports in places like South Korea. And we've been 15 years or more behind the curve on esports. Do you see esports taking off in a big way in the state of Nevada?
Well, you have to remember, we've started WinBet, which means we think that esports across the country is going to be a huge and significant new business opportunity. I think the issue for Southern Nevada has always been there are different types of properties. You have the more local facilities, right, that are already making noise about not supporting e-gaming, and they see that as a direct threat to their brick and mortar business. So I think this conversation is one that's going to develop further. But do I think esports is taking off in a big way? Yes, I do.
Do you agree with Senator Keith Heffer that if you had one of these large tournaments at Allegiant Stadium, not only could you fill Allegiant Stadium, but all the convention space around it as well? Is it that big?
I'm not going to make those kind of hyperbolic statements. I mean, that's is it possible? Sure, it's possible. Would I build a business model around it? No.
You know, just to have you use the word hyperbolic makes my day. Let's take a break and we'll be right back with Pat Moroy after this.
Get in on the Tamarack Casino's $175,000 Hidden Treasures Guaranteed Giveaway now through September 30th. Earn entries in the weekly drawings and win big during the two $35,000 grand prize giveaways. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Are you a homeowner who's interested in remodeling or building a home? At Design Outdoor, we can show you how adding natural or manufactured masonry stone can add beauty and value to your home. And we refer only the best contractors. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
Hey guys, are you watching the game at a friend's or the bar again because you can't watch at home with your wife? Or worse, because she kicked you out and kept your couch, your flat screen, and your kids? What's the one thing a man needs when he loses a good woman? A good lawyer. And when he loses a bad woman, he needs a great lawyer. What makes a good woman a bad woman? You tell me. You're the one that can't watch the game in your own home. I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I represent men in divorce, custody, and family law matters.
I'm Jeff Gehrman, an investigative reporter with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I'm your guide for season two of Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas.
You're in with every gangster and hoodlum in the United States.
I don't go for that, Mr. Kennedy. I don't go for that kind of action.
I was on television accused of fronting for the mob.
Subscribe to Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas, season two, today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get in on the Tamarack Casino's $175,000 Hidden Treasures Guaranteed Giveaway now through September 30th. Earn entries in the weekly drawings and win big during the two $35,000 grand prize giveaways. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Pat Mulroy. She's a senior fellow at Brookings Mountain West. I wanted to ask you about COVID because Wynn Resorts and Matt Maddox have been leaders in this, in getting people vaccinated and working with UMC and so many other places. As we are taping this on the morning of August 23rd, the FDA is supposed to give final approval to the COVID vaccine, I guess at least for Pfizer. They did. Okay, so I've not been checking my phone because I've been working here. But that was the worst kept secret of all, that they were going to do that today. Are you surprised that there is still such a large percentage of Americans that don't want to get the vaccine? And do you think it's going to end up being private business that ends up truly forcing the issue for a majority of Americans?
I think it is. And I think it's going to become a condition of employment and a condition of being able to attend. Look, I think when the Raiders announced that they were going to require vaccinations for somebody to come into the stadium to watch a game, that goes a very long way. I think when you see employers starting to say, you will be vaccinated or you will no longer be able to be employed here, that is going to make a difference. So I think the business sector pushing this vaccination requirement is going to make a huge difference.
Does it surprise you, though, of the pushback from so many people? And I want to say intelligent people, but you know, it's just stunning that this fear of government.
Going to get me in trouble, but yes. Not only am I surprised, I'm irritated and I'm losing my patience with it. I'll be honest with you. I mean, don't you remember when we went to school, we had to have shot records. We had to show that we had our polio, our smallpox, our diphtheria, our tetanus. How do you think all these diseases were finally put in the rearview mirror? How do you think we conquered those diseases? Through vaccination. I don't for the life of me understand why this has become a political point of contention. And to me, quite honestly, those that have made it a political point of contention are incredibly irresponsible.
And that's where we have to leave it. Pat Mulroy, it is always a pleasure to have you on the program. We all learn so much, and it's always fun to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Penny! Dad? What are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this.
Wow! This stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. Tollsdevelopment.com.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done and look to your future success. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. You can do that now these days. We'll see you on the next broadcast.